Romans chapter 5. We're going through at least the beginning of Romans 5. My initial goal has been to study these first 11 verses, about half the chapter. Let's read the first five verses of Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. May God be pleased to bless His word to our hearts. Amen. I've often been asked the question, Denny, if you had anything or had life to do over again, would you do anything different? And I've thought about that question and asked it to others, and others have said to me, oh no, I wouldn't do anything different. God has been so good, I do everything exactly the same, and I walk away shaking my head because I'm of the mentality, to tell you the truth, that I do several things quite differently. I really would. Because I know I've made a lot of mistakes. I know God doesn't make mistakes, but I know I make mistakes. And so I would do things considerably different in several different circumstances. There is little doubt about it. And as I thought about our text today, I had to think about that very proposition. The text today is Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Yes, there are certain things that I would have done differently if I had the opportunity to go back. But I know this, on the other hand, that in life as a whole, as I look at the love of God, and as I look at what God has done, I know that He has not made any mistakes. And I wouldn't do anything differently. Again, the text. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, as we look at our lives and as we understand the love of God more thoroughly, we ought to understand that this text in particular is very true. Hope does not disappoint. When that hope has been driven home to us by the living God, and the living God has a unique way of driving home His hope in our hearts. Isn't that the case? Let's read these first five verses again in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by grace into this, faith in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so I say, in the theme that is before you, if you are disappointed in God, perhaps you are really not a recipient of God's love poured out in your heart. You know, I think that's pretty astounding. I really do. And as I search my own heart, I oftentimes have to draw back, because I know for myself that the love of God does not flood my heart. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Let's look at this text. And let's look at the points that I've given to us in this outline. Here's the first point. Christ's resurrection plus trials and perseverance leading to proven character give birth to hope within us. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, folks, when we look at what Christ has done through Jesus Christ, and when we have an idea of the fact of the resurrection, we ought to be looking ahead and understanding that Jesus Christ really does have great things for us, even though He puts us through various trials in this life. And these trials, I submit to you, are trials that we ought to glory in a sense. And we ought not to have regret concerning. Look at our text again. Verse 5. What is the great hope that God has for us that will never disappoint? Is it not the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our own resurrections? Is this not the great hope that we have? And as we are put through various testings and trials in this life, which prove the character of our hope, we can evermore rely upon Jesus Christ. And so I say,
in the second point, this hope never produces regret, disappointment, or shame. It does not look back, but forward. Hope does not disappoint, the text tells us. Isn't this what hope is? Looking forward, not looking back? It's amazing to me that so often individuals who profess faith in Jesus Christ have a tendency to look back and say to themselves, "Whoa, I've had to give up an awful lot concerning this Christian life," rather than looking forward to the great things that God has done and the great things that God gives. Hope doesn't produce regret or disappointment. I'd like you to look back in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 7. Would you turn with me there, please? 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 says, "For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death." The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance that is without regret. In other words, there are no huge disappointments in following Jesus Christ. Hope does not disappoint. It's the sorrow of the world that produces regret. See, this is what happened to the children of Israel when they left Egypt. They said to Moses, "Hold it, Moses. We'd rather be back in Egypt where we had the garlics and the leeks to eat." I remember years ago when, I probably shouldn't tell this story because Irma's shaking, she's shaking her head already. It was the garlic leek soup that we had one day. And it was amazing because every individual in the family said, "Ooh, what is this?" We were not interested in it at all. And it came out of a particular diet book. At any rate, the Israelites were interested in going back to feed on the garlics and the leeks that were in Egypt. And they had regrets about coming out of Egypt and traveling toward the promised land. But what does the text tell us? The text tells us hope does not disappoint. There is no looking back. That individuals who have the hope of God in their hearts do not look back to the former life outside of Christ. They do not do that. Hope does not disappoint. It is forward looking. And that's one of the great things about Christianity. And the text says hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Why does hope that we have in God not disappoint? It's because of the action and work of the Holy Spirit in us being poured out in our hearts. The love of God being poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so I say in the third point, this hope grows in the soil of God's love displayed in Christ and fertilized by trial and tribulation. See, this is the context in which Paul is speaking. This hope that we have in Christ grows in the soil of God's love when we experience the love of God poured out in our hearts in a very subjective fashion, and we have this vital connection and union with Jesus Christ. I had a lady tell me, not in this congregation, but in another congregation here a couple of weeks ago, that I didn't talk enough about union with Christ. And this is one of the places where we see that union with Christ so beautifully given to us in Scripture in verse 5. "And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We are vitally united to Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit given to us, and it's His love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us that unites us vitally to Jesus Christ. This should be a living principle within each one of us. This love of God grows, and this is the astounding thing, it grows best when fertilized by trials and tribulations, you see. This is what the text is telling us. Let's read verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And we've said that hope is the hope of the resurrection. And not only this, but we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. In other words, hope is really worked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit as we go through tough times in this life. Life is not a bowl of cherries. Life is not a bed of roses. It has its thorns. It has its pits. There's no question that that's the case. And the love of God is poured out in our hearts, and it is worked in us in a significant way as we go through the trials of life. And I used this example last week from C.S. Lewis and Mere Christianity, that we really understand best the grace of God and the love of God when we go through the trials of life and push through the trials of life and don't give up. It's when we give up after 5 minutes that we really don't understand the grace of God. That was C.S. Lewis's example, and I think that's right. And so when our lives are literally fertilized by various trials, we understand the grace of God and the love of God better. This is what Paul is telling us. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then I say in the fourth point, having the love of God, see, this is what's so significant to me. Having the love of God is participation in the divine nature. God's love in us by means of His Spirit. See, the Bible talks about participation in the divine nature. And how can we participate in the divine nature? What is the principal nature of the living God? It's love. And God is love. And what happens? Paul is speaking of the love of God being poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And when we deeply experience the love of God and a union with Jesus Christ and have that love of God in our hearts, there is something profound which is taking place in us. Let me try and get at this by calling your attention to a text in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 15. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. You haven't received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. Again? I'm really interested in this concept, and I'll tell you why. As I've been doing some study of Puritan evangelism, I have seen that one of the things that the Puritans zeroed in on was the fact that individuals who were brought under deep conviction by the Holy Spirit experienced a fear before God. A deep-seated fear, which brought trembling to their hearts because they understood in a new way the consequences of their sins. Now, in our culture and in our society, we do everything possible to get away from that kind of fear. And I think this is one of the reasons we are filled with so much entertainment in our society and in our culture. Look at verse 15 again in Romans 8. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but have received a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. There's not a fear before God because you know that you are a sinner and you stand in judgment before God, but there is a new relationship obtained before God where you know that you are a child of God and the love of God is poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. And so you turn to God the Father and you say, Abba, Father, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All the difference in the world. I've quoted in the last couple of weeks from this book, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And I think it has a lot of good things in it, but it was written by a Jewish man who's not a Christian. And at the end of one of the sections in this particular book, he speaks about the overwhelming fear before God that individuals in this life ought to have. And he ends right there. And I said to myself, don't end there, please. Because what we ought to experience in this life is not deep fear over our sins, but the love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There ought to be a passing from this fear because of sin over to a love where we understand that those sins have been covered and we are filled with the love of God by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so I say with regard to Romans chapter 5, if you turn back there, and verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, that we ought to pass from a point of trembling before God because of our sins to a place of understanding the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And we ought to feel a sense of deep security because, as I say in the fifth point, God lavishes us with His love, pouring out His love upon us. And we ought to sense in a very deep and abiding way the embrace of the living God as He loves us. See, this is what's so tremendous to me about this text. And hope, you see, we have to have great hope in God. Why? Because hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He lavishes us with His love. You know, sometimes, and I'm the same way, I'll confess it, when we read a text like this, we just kind of pass it by because we really don't get the depth and the significance of it. I wish I could do a better job of getting us there. But I think the only way to get there is to have that deep sense of the power of the Spirit in our lives. The love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. This is one of the reasons I think the biblical mode of baptism is pouring. And I've had some people laugh at me that when we perform baptisms in our congregation, I don't seem to be able to get enough water, because I'd like to have that water poured over us. It's not dipping in the water, it's the pouring out of God's love over us. See, that's the symbolism. I really think that's the case. And I think it's beautiful symbolism. God lavishes us with His love, pouring love upon us. In this connection, I'd like you to look, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. Because I think we have a similar thing given to us at that point. The love of God is described by John. For this is the love of God, he says, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Now, some of you are looking at me a little bit quizzically and saying, well, Denny, I don't get the connection here. Well, the connection is this, that when the love of God is poured out within our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us, we simply act differently. We are different people. We are loving people. And what does it mean to love? What is the definition of love? Is love just simply that squishy feeling that you get on the inside when you meet that other person? Is that what love is? No, not exactly. Maybe on an emotional level, that's the case. But when the Bible describes this love, it describes it a little bit differently. Look at verse 3 in 1 John chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. When God lavishes His love upon us, there is a response to God that arises in our hearts. And we desire to live in accordance with His direction, His dictates. In other words, we want to please Him. Isn't this the case with the one we love? Every young person knows that this is the case, that when that love for another individual rises in their hearts, they do all manner of things in order to please that other person. And when the love of God rises in our hearts, there is a desire in our hearts to live for Him, to please Him, to show Him our care, concern, and love. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, it's not too much to tell the truth. It's not too much to be sexually pure. It's not too much to be honest. It's not too much not to steal, you see, because the love of God is poured out in your hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you. And that love is manifested in different ways, objectively out there. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. When God lavishes us with His love, we live for Him, and we show that love by living for Him. Let's go back to Romans then, chapter 5. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You see, I ask finally in the little outline that is before us, are you a recipient of God's love? Are you filled with faith and hope and love? How do you know that you're really a recipient of God's love, that God's love has been poured out in your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to us? You know, when I think about this, I think about kids in New York and in New Jersey. And I grew up in New Jersey, who in the summertime used to open up the fire hydrant to get cool. And when they opened up that fire hydrant, it just wasn't a little trickle that came out of that fire hydrant, but it was a gusher. And the city officials didn't like this because it dropped the water pressure a lot locally. But at any rate, the flow that would come out of that fire hydrant would shoot water across the street very easily. And the young people would get out there and cool themselves off in that water, in that fire hydrant. The love of God poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so the question, see, the bottom line question is, are you a recipient of God's love? That would be the question, would it not be? Are you filled with faith, hope, and love? I put a little blurb in the bulletin. I don't know if you noticed it or not. It's called On Faith, Hope, and Love. And it's a comment from one of the commentaries on Romans by Robert Haldane. Here, Romans 5, 1 through 5, are faith, hope, and love, the three regulators of the Christian life. Faith is the great and only means of obtaining every privilege because it unites the soul to Christ and receives all out of His fullness. Hope cheers the believer in his passage through this world with the expectation of promised blessing to be accomplished in future glory, and is thus the anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which holds it firm and enables it to ride out all the storms and troubles of life. Love is the renewal of the image of God in the soul and the true principle of obedience. Faith, hope, and love given to us here in Romans chapter 5. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Why is this? Because verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And so the question then becomes, are you a recipient of God's love? That would be the question, would it not? And how do you tell? Well, we've been reviewing that, have we not? It's how you live in this life. If the love of God has been poured out within your heart through the Holy Spirit who has been given to you, the commandments of God are not a burden, but a joy, you see. That would be the case. That would be a significant way to tell. And when the commandments of God are a joy to fulfill and not a shackle under which you bear a burden, it makes all the difference in the world. And I pray, I really do, dear friends, I pray that the love of God will be poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us, so that the Ten Commandments, for example, are a great joy to walk in, not a burden seen by us. It's all the difference in the world. And I'll tell you what, the person who's under conviction by God senses those commandments are a burden. The person who has come to full flower in faith in Jesus Christ and is filled with the love of God doesn't see those commandments as a burden at all. But they see those commandments as a way of saying to the world and saying to God, yes, dear Lord, I love you. Let's read these first verses again. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. May God in His grace, dear friends,
pour out His love in your hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to you. May this indeed be the case. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, forgive me because I am so feeble in attempts to lay out what you have to say in your word. God grant that we might be blessed. Be blessed, O Father, by a sense of being embraced by you. Would you be pleased, O God, to pour out your love within our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us? Would you do that? Alter our lives. Alter our dispositions. Fill us with your love. And in doing so, O God, help us to understand that something like the Ten Commandments, for example, is not a negative slapped against us, but an open door through which we can walk and express your love. Fill us with that sense, O God, by your Spirit. Pour out your love within our hearts. Through the Holy Spirit, we pray. We need that, Father. We need that so that we might be a people who would be seen to be different, not for the sake of being different in a fallen culture and fallen world, but seen to be different because it's the love of God that is given to us. Forgive me for expressing these thoughts in such a feeble fashion. Use your word, O God, by the power of your Spirit in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.